I guess there's two keys, because it's also that God is everywhere, active in the universe and in my life and in your life. We're all here in Texas, so we are not unfamiliar to the most catastrophic storm in Hurricane Harvey that we have experienced. We had this magnificent, forceful storm not make landfall one time, and not two times, but it backed up and regained strength to come crashing onto landfall for a third time with unprecedented damage, flooding, and the number of people displaced from their homes is something that we still haven't recovered from, and I hope we won't ever see again. So when we say that there is one presence and one power active in the universe and it is good, what do we say to those people who have lost absolutely everything? How do you look in the eyes of a family, a mother who's come in with nothing but the wet clothes on her back and a baby on her hip, and say, "It's good"? How do you say that? How do you experiencing it in the moment? Oh, you're just gonna have to evacuate. It's just a precaution, ma'am. We just wanna ensure that you're safe. And you come back days later to nothing. But it's good. For me to wrap my brain around this, I would like to share with you a story, one that is very familiar in experience when the Blanco River flooded. Just a couple of years ago, right? We had already had rainfall after rainfall after rainfall. Careful what you pray for, we got rain. But we knew that something was going to happen. We knew something was up, we just didn't know what. And I lived in Onion Creek at the time, where we'd also experienced devastating floods. And I waited, and I watched the news, and I waited, and I watched Facebook. And sure enough, the call went out from one of our own members, Scott Price. And he said, "Anybody who can come, anyone who has a bucket, a shovel, gloves, a back that is willing to put something in it, please come help." So I did. I got my flat shovel and my trash bags, and I went and strapped on my work boots, and I grabbed a cooler of all the water and everything that I could think of. And I made my way roundaboutly to Scott's house. If you've ever been to Scott's house, there's a back entry, and I went thinking I was just gonna waltz right in. But I got in, and I went, because of the mud that was in that house, what was left over from the receded waters was soot and silt and mud and grime, and I couldn't even make my way in. So we spent the day shoveling out mud from your residence and taking things off the walls, and removing furniture, and spraying everything off. Many of you were there, and you know that that was back-breaking labor. So after about 10 hours, I had had enough, grateful that I had a place to go back home. And before I left, I looked out the window, and I saw Scott on the back deck of his annihilated home, which just looked over the Blanco River. And there was Scott standing there, just taking it in. And I came up to just say goodbye and ask if there was anything else I could do. I put my arm around him, probably not even aware that it was me or anybody. He was clearly having a moment. And I said, is there anything else I can do? I'm getting ready to go. And he said, you know, this is a divine cleansing. Now hear me when I say it's a divine cleansing, that the tragedy of the flood itself is not the blessing. It can't possibly feel as such when we are in that moment. But it's the faith that we have that tells us that this is for a reason and it's temporary and I will get on the other side of it. It's that inner knowing, the revealing word. Says that faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. Spiritual assurance is the power to do the seemingly impossible. It's a deep inner knowing that which is sought after is already ours. So, said another way, is that faith is knowing that something bigger is at work. We often can't see it right in front of our face at the time that it's happening. So here's what I see from a distance as what's happened in Houston or in Florida or actively going on right now in California. And with any devastation that goes on around our world. But in Houston, it is the fourth largest city in our country, and it is largely populated as a result of another catastrophic storm. I see people, regardless of color or gender or religion, religious affiliation, helping each other. No one says, excuse me, can I see your registered Democrat card before you come in and help me? Can I make sure that you're a Republican and we're of like mind? Who did you vote for? Just grateful for another brother or sister, a human to connect with and willing to take their time, their energy, their effort to come shovel out. In Texas, we have the right to carry, right? Is this our only weapon? Or are our beliefs, our conditioned way of thinking, who we run in circles with, who I affiliate with, are those our defenses? So in Texas, we laid down our arms. Matthew 5:45 says that the sun rises on the evil and the good and sends rain to the righteous and unrighteous alike. So you heard in my bio that metaphysics is my thing, so I immediately go to what the heck does that mean? It means that the rain befalls you no matter who you are. And metaphysically speaking, rain is the nourishment of the earth. It is God's blessing and love that befalls all of us, all the time. So where I see that there was once hate, don't help me, you're black and I'm scared of you because something happened to somebody that I knew one way, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm afraid of your color, or your gender, or your sexual orientation. There was now an opportunity to replace what was there, my mental affiliation with you for being Hispanic, or female, or poor, or rich. An opportunity to reprogram, otherwise known as forgiveness. Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, has written How to Let God Help You. And I found when I was preparing for this talk, this passage, amazes me. I open the book to Myrtle, and there's always something that needs to be said. Forgiveness is the art of putting something else in place of the thing forgiven. You put in a positive realization of the truth of being in place of the appearance of negative adversity, which your sense and your intellectual training report. It does not matter if there is not immediate transformation. You have made God your power to erase the appearance and to establish truth. Such attitudes invite only the best from other souls. Only the best from other souls. So if I can lay down my arms and see you for the human being that's showing up, it allows a shift. It allows forgiveness to begin to take place and a new memory to be planted. And that memory that's planted with me will be passed on by relation, direct or otherwise in my circle. A shared opinion. That black female helped me out. That rich white man brought his boat and saved me. So I now have a new opinion, and forgiveness can take place. So storms like Harvey, a hurricane, come in bands. And it always, Nelson Mandela said this, it always seems impossible until it is done. And having the endurance and the willingness even to get through it and put one foot in front of the other to move through that space requires that faith. It requires to see that the good is happening all around us, even when it feels like crap. To know that you can get through the other side. So I invite you for a moment to just forget the literal storm. I recognize that the weather cooperated with my storm analogy. But I'm sure there's sun shining out there by now. And I'd like for you to bring to mind your own personal storm. A time when you felt like you lost everything, or no matter how hard you held on, it was going to slip through your fingers anyway. Can you feel the panic? Can you recall the frenzy? Am I the only one who goes, I don't know what to do next? Now stretch your hands out in front of you. And look at them, and look at the person next to you. You've had your own storm, and evidenced by the fact that you are sitting here and have hands outstretched in front of you is to show you that you survived. And if you're in the middle of said storm, you're surviving, and you're breathing, and you're surrounded by this entire community upholding and supporting you. You will get through it. We have had this same type experience when it felt like the rug got pulled right out from under us. And our own beloved minister followed her next calling. And we scrambled, didn't we? Clamoring. And then we took a breath. And we went to the powers that we have within us. The faith that we know divine order is at hand, even when it's ugly. Yes? Last but not least, we've talked about faith, and we've talked about forgiveness, allowing that perception to be replaced or an experience to be replaced and planted new opportunity for good. In our household, you can imagine the conversations we have with two metaphysicians and two prayer chaplains. We have different perspectives about many, many things. But the last nugget that I want to offer you to hold on to is prayer. Oftentimes we hear, well, all I can do is pray. Well, there's nothing left to do now but pray. I guess I'll pray. Right? You hear it, right? What I would offer you in replacement of that thought is the best thing you can do is pray. Let that be the first thing you do. Because, as my spouse says, prayer is a treatment for perception. So profound were those words when she said them that I mixed them up with Myrtle Fillmore. I did. I was like, Myrtle said that. No. Courtney Holton said that. It is a treatment for our own perception because we get into the cloud and the fog of what's happening right here in front of me, and we disallow our ability to rise up and to think bigger and know that all is always well. God's expression is always good, even when we don't know. You and I are an expression of that good, and we see that demonstrated when people need help. So going to prayer or asking for prayer, and when you're asked for prayer, hold the space. Someone's coming to you because they're shaky in their foundation. They're shaky in their ability to know the truth and need your bolstering and your help and your support and the knowing of the truth of their nature, whatever they're experiencing. So we usually go into meditation at this time, but I would like to invite you to have that storm in mind, that experience of when you have thought you were losing everything or what you're going through right now. And let's turn to prayer together. So if you'll take a deep breath, a deep cleansing, intentional breath in through the nose and sigh it out if you're called to. And if you haven't done so already, close your outer eyes and repeat that breath deeply in and exhale out. And drop your shoulders. Uncross your legs and connect to Mother Earth. And here I would say, let my words be your words and connect to the living, loving spirit of God, the indwelling divine source by which we all have and move through our being. Continuing in that breath, the breath of God, that is the life force that propels you forward and gives you the ability to take physical action. Let us draw on the power of faith and divine order. Faith to know that God, the good, omnipotent, is active in the universe and in my life in all things. And it is not for me to do, to interpret or predict what it is that is good down the road, but to just be in it and allow for the divine order, the divine timing, the divine mind to actively engage and to get out of the way. From this place, I know that I am safe. I know that I am loved and supported, that I have all that I need right now, and I live in a place of abundance. I'll rest in this knowing and allow that truth to be the energy that propels me forward or allows me to rest. For this truth and for this knowing and for all that support and hold that space for me in my times of storm, of uncertainty, of unrest, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that the space is held for me to move through every season, every stage. And I'm grateful to know that at the other side, there are blessings. For that knowing and for that truth, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, God. And so it is.